No boss man. Luke chapter 22, verses 24 to 30. We are approaching the end of Luke's gospel. Jesus has just shared his last supper with his disciples prior to his betrayal and death. This very dark night, the priests are scheming. Judas is betraying. The longest, darkest night in history has come. But before we get to the actions of this long night, Jesus has something more to say. And he says this as someone heading to his final moments. So we should hear this with the rapt attention as we would listen to someone's final words. One had best listen when a dying man speaks, most especially when that dying man is the one who lives forevermore. A dispute also arose among them. The disciples picked like the greatest times to get into arguments, but here we are, Jesus' Last Supper, and here they are arguing a dispute as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. This is as mature as on the schoolyard, when my dad can beat up your dad. Perhaps this was began as Jesus declared, "This is the new covenant in my blood." And they're thinking about the new covenant and the messianic age, and they're beginning to divvy up parts of Israel among them, saying, "Who's going to rule where?" I'm sure Peter is claiming Jerusalem for his own. Somehow they missed Jesus speaking as the new covenant would be in my blood. They missed the fact that in the economy of Jesus' kingdom, service and suffering always precede glory. But to men, daydreams of glory are as inevitable as mosquitoes after a prairie rain. It's reminding you there are bad things in summer that we don't have anymore. Perhaps they begin arguing about who's the greatest because they are busy. This is right after Jesus predicts Judas's betrayal, and in their zeal to proclaim that it could never be me who would be betray, although after in a few minutes they're all going to be running for their lives. So, however the dispute starts, Jesus found this to be the perfect opportunity to leave behind detailed instructions as to what manner his disciples were to carry themselves into the world and how his church must be run. Instructions that, sadly, have not always been followed. Jesus said, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors." Benefactors here is kind of like title that you would give to someone, like, you know, the boss, the big man, the one that who blesses others. It's kind of exalted, lofty title. There's a certain way of the world that must never be among God's people, especially not his church. The church is not to build castles, to wear fancy gowns and hats. The church is not to uplift people as celebrities. The church and Christians must not model ourselves and our attitudes on the world, whether that be the medieval world of power and castles and crowns, or the modern world of media superstars. Sadly, the church has too often been defined by people proclaiming power and authority rather than the humble way of Jesus Christ. Now, what do most people want? You know, it's really funny when you ask people what they want and what they desire. Most people will say happiness, a good family life, and then they spend all of their time working. And it's like, oh, so much for the family life. Spend all their time working after a few more bucks. The people are committed to their wife until something better or hotter comes along, and everybody's maybe this on the side. And you see pretty soon what people say that they want versus what they actually want, which is too often and so often a drive for power, money, prestige. Most people in the world live for power, pleasure, health, wealth, security, family, friends, legacy, and peace. I got that off a list of the internet, so it's probably true. Now, almost all of those things like are fine in their place. Like, there's a place for caring about how much money that you make. Like there's a place for that. And yet, Christians are not just to live for the things that everyone else in the world is living for. We're called to so much more. We're called to live for more than power and prestige and worldly success. We're called to three things. Three things. And we're going to see them in this text. Jesus Christ calls us to this. One, an attitude of humility. Two, actions of humility. And three, Christ-like humility. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, I pray that you would teach us to be humble today, that you would teach us to look to the author and perfecter of our faith in our attitudes and actions, in our business conduct and family life. Lead us, open our hearts and minds to turn away from the models of the world to the one model, Jesus Christ. Amen. Number one, attitude of humility. It says, but not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader is the one who serves. Now, we often in our society, especially to our own kids, we, you know, give a lot of slack to the youngest, to the little kids. But in the ancient world, this was not so. When Jesus is talking about as the youngest here, he is speaking of people who were seen but not heard. School in the old days was harsh. You didn't need to keep your kids interested with interesting lessons when a paddle or a strap would do the job just as well. Perhaps the closest thing to the treatment of the youngest versus the oldest we have in our modern society is like the union job, where no matter how good or talented you are, if you are the youngest in that position, you're going to get laid off first. And so when Jesus says here, as the youngest, he's thinking of people seen and not heard, people in the lowest rung of society. Now, we can't actually become the youngest here. It can't literally mean we become young. But what it means is that we act like we are not the big man, but we are on the outside. We are to carry ourselves, to walk around like we are the youngest in the room, the little brother, instead of the bully. We are to let others speak. We are to listen first. We are to have an attitude of humility in how we act. And this attitude, as if we move up in the world, this attitude should grow the higher position we get, which is so opposite of the world. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the story of every rock documentary where this hardworking musician, you know, down and out, scrappy person, and then he works up and pretty soon in fame, fame just goes to people's heads, and pretty soon they're demanding that they take out all of the red M&Ms from the bowl, because this is just how people are. You know, you grow in power and prestige and your head grows, but Jesus said it should be opposite. The greater you are in Christ's kingdom, the more that you should be to let others speak first, to carry yourself around like you're nobody special. This is so diametrically opposed to the message of the world, messages that creep into our churches, messages that say that you should be saying, I'm strong, I am powerful. I sometimes have a joke, like, I am a potato. I don't know why that's funny, but it is. You know what drives this kind of thinking, this kind of like, I am powerful kind of thinking? It is insecurity. It's the insecurity that is always trying to, like, puff themselves up. You know, it's the kid on the, you know, it's like the bully who's like really like kind of like insecure, and it's like, God, beat other people up to feel good. We got to pump ourselves up to feel good. If we know that in Jesus Christ, adopted into the family of God, heir of all things, if you know that, like Jesus knows that, you don't have to put yourself up and put others down, because you've got nothing to prove. Nothing to prove to anyone. Now, we think about an attitude of humility. You know, you might be thinking of, you know, this is how the prime minister should act. This is how the president should act. This is how the pastor should act. Okay, it is how all of those people should act. But we shouldn't neglect that there are many people who become tyrants and dictators in their very own home. Just with their kids, with their spouses. How so very easy it is to act with the tone of a dictator with our very own families instead of the attitude of Christ. Now, it is okay to be in charge. It's okay to have order and discipline. Like, those are all great and good things. But in all of those things, we need to maintain an attitude of humility in that. And this is convicting to me, because I think of, like, all of the times that I'm in my house and my kids, you know, they're off doing something, and I won't mention any of them by name. They get $5 if I mention them by name, so. And they're off doing something, and I'm like, get over here! And that's the tone, by the way, of a dictator, not as a servant. Could you please come over here? Maybe, could you please come over here? Like, it's okay to be firm, but we don't want any dictators. Why are you doing that? Could you explain what you're doing? We need to have an attitude of humility. Not just, this isn't just some far off thing. This is in every aspect of our homes. Secondly, we need to have actions of humility. The leader as one who serves. Now, serving is something everyone can do. Now, so much has been said about servant leadership. It's almost like cliche to talk about it at all. But I just want to make a big observation about society in general here. We've got all the we've got Remembrance Day stuff here, because we're remembering Remembrance Day today. And let's say the ceremony at like the school was really, really, really great. Thanks, Jenny, for like leading that. That was good to remember. And it got me thinking about how different the world is today than in the First World War when 600,000 young men and a few women, mostly men, but a few women went to Europe to fight. And it made me think about service. Now, the best modern reflection of service I can think of comes from Bob Dylan. You gotta serve somebody. Maybe I won't do a Bob Dylan impression because I want you to understand the words. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. It's interesting that John Lennon of the Beatles was so angry about this song that he wrote a curse-filled parody of the song called Serve Yourself. The chorus of that was, well, you may believe in devils and you may believe in lords, but you're going to have to serve yourself, and that's all there is to it. No wonder the Beatles broke up. Hard to keep a band together with an attitude like that. But this is the attitude of people who are living on life to serve primarily their own happiness. And what have we to show for it? You know, social media. That, you know, I did this good gift here. Look at me, I did something good. Social media that's making us anxious and depressed. An opioid epidemic claiming the lives of our sons and daughters. Men and women who don't even know they are men and women. Everybody serves somebody, whether it be the devil or the Lord. And we think about 600 men and women marching off, going off to Europe, and the attitude that something like that requires, an attitude that says, I am going to serve with my actions, not caring about credit or glory. Now, it used to be in the day, you did something good, and it was like, it was embarrassing to like tell everybody about it, instead of like, that's just what you do. The attitude of a culture that was really, and I think really, the reason why there was a culture like that is Christianity in the culture that says, I serve because there is a greater ideal than just myself and my happiness. I serve because that is what we do. We serve others. So, if you want to be a leader, you'll serve with this kind of action. Don't serve because you're going to get a reward. Don't serve because you're going to get something. You know, it says servants in that those days, and servants in those days were slaves. Few benefits, zero pay. And that is the type of service that Christ calls us to here, to serve with our actions. Third, we want to have Christ-like humility. For who is the greater one, the one who reclines at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? And by the way, you could probably translate, like think of this as, who is the greater according to the world, the one sitting at table? But I, by the way, Christ, everyone knows Christ is the greatest. I am among you as the one who serves. So we see Christ call us to the actions of humility and service, and the attitude of humility and service. And finally, I think we need to look at Christ himself to see exactly how we are called to serve. Now, Jesus, it doesn't talk about it in Luke, but we know from John's gospel, this very night when they went to the upper room, Jesus, knowing that he had come from the Father and was going back to the Father, and the Father had given all things into his hands. This is what it says in the text, like talking about Jesus knew exactly who he was. And at that moment, he takes off his outer cloak, he puts on a towel, and he gets down and he washes his disciples' feet one by one, doing the work of a servant. God in the flesh washing feet. And this is such a, just a strike in the heart to every time I've been doing something. And I kind of had that feeling like, this is kind of beneath me. The lowest work was not beneath Christ. And so when I'm in a place where I'm serving, in this place where no one's ever going to see, no one's ever going to get a reward, that is the place where Christ is. That's a place where you can be like Christ. When you feel like this is beneath me, no, nothing's beneath Jesus Christ. And being in that low place is where Christ is. Now, in Jesus Christ, we see that the attitude and actions of service were not just felt needs. And we don't want to be Christians just going around being nice people to everybody, because that's not what Jesus was. And this is where we see the kinds of service. When Jesus met the woman at the well, and you see there's a picture in our foyer, or foyer, whichever you say it, of Jesus meeting the woman at the well. And she came for a drink of water, but he was there to give her living water. So we don't just serve people in what they think they need. We serve their deepest need, which, by the way, is always Jesus Christ, and then everything that comes after that. We need to look, we need to mold our attitudes and actions after Jesus Christ in a deep and real way. I tremble to think when I watch modern movies what kind of lessons we're teaching our children all the time. You know, I've been watching a bunch of the Marvel movies, some of the older ones, and they're altogether not as bad as some movies, but Iron Man is brash, egotistical, self-centered. And there's something, like, right on, the first time you have Iron Man meet Captain America, who's, like, from, like, the war generation, greatest generation. You have these two people meet, and it's just, like, their values clash so dramatically. Because the attitudes have changed to be, like, you know, it can even be a, you can, you know, we lift up as kind of a model of someone who's brash, self-centered, and egotistical. Now, some characters are going to be lovable rogues, like Han Solo, or I guess the lovable rogue goes all the way back in the Bible to Samson. But when we look to what we want to emulate, we have to stop looking at the rich, the famous, and start looking at the people who serve, but most particularly the person of Jesus Christ. We need to teach our kids that what they want to emulate is not a sports star, is not a movie star, but Jesus Christ, who served and gave and did not serve his own needs, but the needs of others. We need to look up to Jesus as our hero, remembering that Jesus was not just some mystical being descended, but Jesus was fully human on earth, identifying with every one of our needs. We need to keep the stories of Jesus central in our house and our minds about how Jesus served and how Jesus met the needs of others. And we need to aim for something in our lives better than just authenticity. Is being my true self. Some of you, you know, just be my true self. And it's like, often our true selves are self-indulgent, angry, and rude. We don't want to be that self. We want to be something truer than our true self, which is the truth, Jesus Christ. In his attitude and actions that went beyond just what he felt like doing, but his attitude and actions that served others, not for reward, but served others because it was the right thing to do. So, what do we need? Jesus teaches us that we need to have an attitude of humility. Attitude of humility even in our families. We need to do the actions of humility. Serving our country, our community, and our church. Not because we want to be the big shots, but because God has called us to meet the needs of others. And finally, we want to have Christ-like humility. Because Christ is ultimately the one that we need to follow. Now, some may say, I don't want to go and serve. I don't want to serve because people are going to take advantage of me. And all we have to look for is that is, you know what? Jesus, it didn't always work out awesome for him. In fact, very soon we're going to talk about how Jesus died on the cross. And serving others is not going to be some blissful experience where you feel like, oh, everyone's like, oh, everyone else has your serving so great. No, being called to be a servant means calling to suffering, to things that are hard, things that are thankless. But this is the hope of the gospel in Jesus Christ, that glory comes after. And Jesus even moves to this in his own thing. He moves right from telling them to serve, and then, you are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In God's economy, service, suffering, thankless service comes first. But the promise and the hope is glory always follows those who serve. I mean, not today or tomorrow, but someday in Christ's kingdom, every service will be rewarded in far greater measure than we could ever know. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, I pray that we would know how to serve you. I pray that we would know how to serve others. I pray that we would reject the model and patterns of this world and instead speak as the youngest, serve as a servant to others, and ultimately look to you as the model and perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.